Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of February 2015. Happy birthday to my brother Larry. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets with the folks right here at the Andersons in Champaign County, and discuss the weather forecast with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies there in Chicago, Illinois. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. Corn futures were lower for the day. The nearby March contract at $3.78¾, down 6.5 cents. May at $3.86¾, down 6¼. And July at $3.94½, down 6. December corn, $4.10½, down 5¾. Next year's March at $5.19½, down 5¾. From the soy complex, nearby bean futures at $9.99¼, finished the day unchanged. May futures at $10.05, down 3/4. July at $10.06, 0.75 cents lower. November beans at $9.79¾, down 0.25 cents. In January, down 0.25 cents as well, at $9.85. Bean meal futures up 80 cents in the nearby March at $3.48.30, the May at $3.38.50, down 20. And the bean oil for the day at $31.14 on the lead option settlement price. March contract down 34 cents. May following suit, 34 lower at $31.33. Soft red winter wheat in Chicago finished at $5.05¾, down 4.5 for the March. July at $5.08¾. The harvest month down 2¾. And the harvest month for the hard red at $5.43. down 2¾ as well. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the February at $156, down 70 cents. In the February, April at $147.25, down $1.27½. The feeder cattle finished the March at $197.82½, $1.35 lower. April down $1.35 as well. And the lean hogs on the day. In the April contract, $68.57½, a gain today of $1.17½. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. April crude oil at $49.29 a barrel is now down $1.52. Heating oil or diesel fuel up 7 cents for the day at $2.18¼. The gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the RBOB, at $1.63¼, just about unchanged. Natural gas for the day, trading at $2.86, is up 9, or rather down 9½¢. And the ethanol futures at 3¾¢ lower, finished at $1.39¼. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 18,062 points, down just about 42 points at this hour. Gold futures at $1,201, that is. That's down $3.75 for the day. And the dollar index at 94.67 is up 0.33 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of 13 degrees, wind chills of 2 to 7 above on a southwest wind at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, clear, a low of 0. We'll drop to 3 to 13 below for our wind chills. Again, that wind will remain out of the south-southwest at 5 to 11. And then tomorrow, a chance of flurries after the noon hour. Increasing clouds, a high tomorrow of 31 degrees. The wind chills between 3 and 13 below during the day tomorrow. Winds out of the southwest, and they'll kick up to 13 to 21 miles an hour. On Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear, a low of 14 degrees. Wind chills just 5 to 10 above. Winds out of the west by then at 7 to 14. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line for this 23rd day of February is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, tell me about the marketplace. And I don't remember, frankly, Kurt, the last time I saw an unchanged in one of the commodities. A little odd to see that in the soy complex for the day.
Yeah, soybeans held in there. They traded both sides firmer overnight, firmer earlier this morning, and sold off during the day session there. But soybean meal demand continues to be fairly strong, giving crushers a little bit of encouragement to continue to crush. Main thing is that we saw spread unwinding. End of the month's coming up here fairly quickly, and saw a lot of interest in buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. So some support came from there. Fundamentally, news-wise, you know, additional cold weather, looking at, you know, concerns in the southern hemisphere, maybe there could be a port dock truck strike or whatever, just, you know, when it's not far enough along for the trade to be totally 100% comfortable with beans flowing out of the southern hemisphere in a timely fashion, even though they got enough at the ports, for say, to load ships is in line. So just a ho-hum affair. Big thing is probably the corn. Seems like there's quite a bit of corn for sale out there. Quite a bit of corn moved here out in the western belt here over the last few sessions. And corn's ability in the March futures contract to stay above 380 also generates some sell stop activity to kick in. A lot of technical selling. Funds were the big sellers on the day here. They sold over 8,000 contracts of corn here as we went into mid-session. See if we get a turnaround Tuesday. But for the most part, when you look at the big picture of the chart, we're still within the same trading range we've been in since last fall.
In the western corn belt, was the heavy lifting done by basis, and was that the reason that caused the movement of corn there, or are there other things that happened?
I think it's just a combination of things. I think, you know, we're seeing producers wanting to get caught up on some sales, get some stuff moved here. We're looking at, you know, weather starting to warm up here someday, hopefully. And I think it's the fact that just wanting to get things put away here as producers start to focus on spring field work here if it ever warms up here as we go into late March.
On Friday, we had a cattle on feed report. What did you think of those numbers?
Kind of uneventful. You know, the weight breakdown was the mixed bag there. Plenty of supplies up front here, a little tighter situation in the lighter weights. And, you know, trying to spin, they're throwing out their counting process there, just counting in feedlot steers and heifers, but overall the other counting was only about 1% of the numbers. But when you look at things, we're continuing to look at heavy weights. We're 20 pounds heavier than a year ago. Domestic consumption still continues to struggle, so it's going to be important to see exports remain somewhat strong, or renewed interest in beef exports to give us some momentum here to run back up into the upper 160s.
In just a moment, we'll recap what USDA numbers look like from the Agricultural Outlook Forum from last week. Was there anything in that set of numbers that surprised you very much?
Well, the big one, of course, is the bean estimate. You know, trade's leaning towards heavier bean numbers. When you look at or hear what we've been seen in the countryside here, especially guys that sell bean seeds. Bean seed sales have been quite heavy, so if we're not going to have an increase in acres, we're going to see you know, some disappointing bean sales as we move into this spring, or actual deliveries of bean seed. But even if you take the numbers we had last week, plug them in the supply-demand balance sheet, use 45 bushels, 45 and a half bushels to the acre, keep demand somewhat strong, we're still going to have ample supplies of beans as we go into next year. So we get confirmation of the actual producer survey here at the end of March of a sizable increase, 1, 2, 3 million acres. Then plug that in, then we're just going to have a situation where we're going to be at Washington beans as we move through the calendars year of 2015 and 2016.
Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Very good. Enjoyed it, Todd. Take care.
All right. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear him on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. And while you're there, why don't you go ahead and order your tickets for our All-Day Ag Outlook. It's just 2 weeks away now. We still have some tickets left. You can get in on it. Just $25 at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 10th day of March. Kurt will be there along with another 11. Come on. Commodity analysts and three more beyond that. So we're going to have 15 in total for the day, just $25. Starts fairly early in the morning, 7:45 Central Time for pre-registration, 8:45 in the Eastern Time Zone. But it'll be a great day. And if you've never gone, you ought to do it right now. Go online at willag.org or just call this number, 217-333-7300. Speaking of the All-Day Ag Outlook, again, 217-333-7300, your Director of Ag Program. Dave Dickey puts that one together. He also is here right now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the seaports of the West Coast went from lagging to bustling over the weekend, a process that is expected to accelerate today in the wake of a tentative agreement between employers and dock workers. More than 1,000 dock worker assignments were filled Sunday at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, more than double the number of recent Sundays. More than 2,000 were expected to be filled today. Negotiators reached a tentative contract covering West Coast dock workers on Friday evening, likely ending a protracted labor dispute that snarled international trade at seaports, handling about $1 trillion worth of cargo annually. The breakthrough came after 9 months of negotiations that turned contentious in the fall when dock workers and their employers began blaming each other for problems getting imports to consumers and exports overseas. The 5-year deal must still be approved by the 13,000-member International Longshore and Warehouse Unions rank and file. They work 29 ports from San Diego to Seattle that handle about one-quarter of all U.S. international trade, much of it with Asia. The labor dispute has created broad economic issues. McDonald's in Japan, for example, began rationing fries because of a potato shortage. Apple, walnut, and hay producers all said they were losing out to foreign competitors. The meat industry tallied its losses in the tens of millions of dollars. After a federal mediator could not broker an agreement last week, the Obama administration dispatched Labor Secretary Thomas Perez to oversee talks in San Francisco. In the end, the disagreement boiled down to the system for resolving allegations of work slowdowns, discrimination, and other conflicts at the ports. The European Parliament's Agriculture Committee today is recommending that the European Commission work to achieve an early and separate agreement with the United States on the yet unresolved agricultural issues being negotiated under the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership Free Trade Agreement. Chief among these are issues involving tariffs, geographical indicators, and sanitary measures. The European Parliament is expected to vote in May on its TTIP resolution, which will set conditions for a ratification vote if the EU and United States finalize terms for a free trade agreement. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at Illinois Public Media, puts together our All-Day Ag Outlook. If you haven't purchased your tickets yet, go online at willag.org and buy them, or just call this number, 217-333-7300. Just 2 weeks until our March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook. Prior to that, if you'd like to see some of our analysts, we have a couple of opportunities this week. In fact, we'll be in Belleville at the St. Clair County Farm Bureau building at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon with Mike Suze Lowe and Jackie Vakes will do something a little different that day. Each of them will give a short presentation on PowerPoint, and then we'll go through our regular ag panel. Supper follows at 6 o'clock, details at willag.org. And then, speaking of supper, you can come to Casey, Illinois, on Thursday night, February the 26th. That's this Thursday at 6 o'clock. We'll have a meal there. Gary Schnittke will be with us to talk about that farm bill decision. And importantly, we have the new county yields out. Should make it easier to make the decision between ARC County and PLC. Our panelists that evening include Sherman Newland of Risk Management Commodities, Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities, and Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson. That one's sponsored by University of Illinois Extension. It's at the United Methodist Church there in Casey, Illinois, at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening of this week. Well, as you know, last week, the United States Department of Agriculture presented its view of the commodity markets. On Thursday, USDA Acting Chief Economist Robert Johansson made a presentation on the current agricultural landscape during the 2015 USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum. Interestingly, he set the tone by showing how commodity prices have been trending downward for more than 60 years. Even more amazing is that on average, Americans have steadily spent less on food each decade for the past 9 decades. Nearly 25% of disposable income was used to purchase food in the 1930s. This number has now dropped to about 10%. The acting chief economist took up commodity crops in detail. He explained global supplies of wheat, corn, and soybeans are plentiful. The planet, he says, will have more than 113 days of soybeans at the end of the marketing year. This is a record supply. However, demand for the miracle crop remains very strong, with most of the world's soybean exports going to China. These are primarily supplied by the United States, Brazil, and Argentina. Well, the U.S. is expected to be the planet's largest exporter of soybeans for the 2015-16 marketing year. That's the fall of this year's harvest. But Brazil should take the title in the following year and beyond. USDA projects Brazil's market share of soybean exports will grow to 46% by 2024, while the U.S. share is expected to fall to 33%. The U.S. is expected to remain the world's largest exporter of corn, with its share of the global corn trade growing from 40% in the coming marketing year to 45% over the next 10 years. This year, the Agricultural Outlook Forum projects U.S. farmers are likely to plant 89 million acres of corn and 83.5 million acres of soybeans. Johansson says the marketing year average cash price for fall 2015 corn is expected to be just $3.50 a bushel. The marketing year average soybean price is forecast at $9 a bushel. Well, the number of acres sown to coarse grains like barley, oats, and sorghum are expected to go up. That's based on strong demand from China. Chinese demand has propped up sorghum prices and export demand for all these feed grains. USDA reports overall acreage at about 255 million nationwide. Still, that's down about 3.3 million from last year. CRP acreage is also expected to decline.
Tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASDE day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends. And Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Hey, one other little item that was in the news. This came out last week on Friday. Caterpillar says it's going to stay in Peoria. That's big news for that city. The world's largest heavy equipment maker announced plans to expand its world headquarters in downtown Peoria after a 2.5-year building study. Governor Bruce Rauner says many other states and countries tried to lure Cat away from Peoria. He says, I personally know what they did, who they called, how often they came, what they offered, and they offered all kinds of benefits. Caterpillar said, no, I'm going to be loyal to the state of Illinois, where we built and where we build our long-term future. Rauner says Caterpillar also never asked the state for any tax breaks or special incentives. The proposed 31-acre campus will span six blocks near the riverfront in Peoria, including green space, three central towers for employees, and some retail options. There's no price tag for the proposed campus, and CATS CEO says construction won't begin until economic conditions improve worldwide. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check the cash grain market. The folks from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County always join us on a Monday afternoon to take a look at that. And Amy Sage is on the phone line today. Amy, thanks so much for talking to me today. Is there much movement in the way of corn at this time?
Actually, from a flow perspective, we are seeing some truck traffic, even though it's freezing. But guys are moving it out of the bins, but not a lot of farmers selling.
So why moving it out of the bins?
Well, I guess we were able to offer some free DP in this area on a limited basis. So there's some people taking advantage of that while the ground's frozen and just getting it, losing the worries for conditions throughout the rest of the year as temperatures start to get warmer. But still no farmer selling pressure, very little.
Yeah, and are you hearing different things from other areas across the Corn Belt? For instance, are your Western guys having more movement?
Actually, no. And out west, typically they hang, well, at our Iowa facilities anyhow, they typically hang on to their crop longer than what people do around here. A little different mentality out there from a forward selling and storage standpoint, too. So really not much of a different scenario in Nebraska or Iowa.
Okay. So what are you hearing from end users or processors in the area? Are they on the hunt?
Yes, actually, and same with rail values. We've seen basis levels across the board stay firm despite the large crop that we've had. So we've seen gradual improvements throughout the winter months so far. And I guess until we start to see selling pressure, we anticipate that trending the same direction.
Does it scare you that this is not a problem with the amount of corn around, just that the bin doors are closed?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess at some point or another, that grain will come to market. And so at that point, I think kind of all bets are off if we see an abundance of selling at one point or another, which I would venture to say if we could get to a $4 and a $10 cash price, we'll see some farmers selling at those levels. Until then, we could continue to go higher. But after that, from a basis perspective, we may see it crash.
And your bids for the day are what?
373 cash corn. We are 385 fall across the scale, 991 cash soybeans, 955 for new crop, and we're 496 cash wheat, 499 for July.
Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
That is Amy Sage. She's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the commodity markets and the cash grain trade. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with the guys at Earthrisk Technologies. They're in Chicago, Illinois. The Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Banana Bread Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1884, Casimir Funk was born. A Polish-American biochemist, he came up with the word vitamine. He pursued the idea that diseases such as scurvy and rickets were essentially caused by a lack of vital substances in the diet. Vitamine was later changed to V-I-T-A-M-I-N, vitamin. In 1896, Leo Hirschfeld introduced a chewy candy at his small store in New York City. It was named after his five-year-old daughter, Clara, whose nickname was Tootsie. Yes, that's the Tootsie Roll. By the way, during World War II, Tootsie Rolls were added to the rations of U.S. soldiers for their ability to give a quick energy burst. In 1944, Leo Baekeland was born. A Belgian-born U.S. industrial chemist, he invented the first thermosetting plastic, Bakelite, which did not soften when heated. The plastic was used for insulators as well as molded buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The contribution essentially ushered in the modern plastics industry. And in 1997, scientists in Scotland announced the first successful cloning of an adult mammal, Dolly, a sheep. Dolly lived for almost 7 years before being put down due to progressive lung disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, it is a Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. On the phone line is John Davis. He's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. John, thanks for being with us. It's been cold. Looks like it's going to stay that way for a bit longer, and then we get some warm-up, but maybe a little snow. Tell me about the forecast for the Midwest first.
Well, I mean, for this time of year, this is unseasonably cold and really one of the coldest 5 or 6 day periods that we've had at any time over the last 20 or 25 years. So this is kind of historic in nature, what we've gone through over the past week. And although we won't maintain the kind of levels that we had over the past 3 or 4 days, there's no question it is going to remain colder than normal across all of the Midwest into the early portion of March. And it looks like that cold pattern is fully entrenched here across the middle portion of the country. We do have some storminess on tap here later on this week. In fact, we'll begin to see some precip evolve here as we go into the middle portion of this week, and then a more significant storm system here over the weekend. So it does look like the storm track is going to become a bit more active across the Midwest over the next week or two, with kind of rain systems in the southern areas of Illinois, snow systems in the northern portion of the state, and so a much more active pattern on tap as we go through the end of this month and also into the early portion of March.
Active, but is it something we have to be wary of, is the question.
Well, I think at this stage of the game, certainly nothing to be wary of at the present time. Moisture at this stage of the game certainly is still deemed as beneficial, with, I guess, the exception of any kind of livestock interest across the Midwest, but still deemed as a beneficial situation. No signs that this is going to last for an extended period of time, but that will be the key item to watch as we go through the month of March.
Any concerns in South America?
No, their growing season, which has been very favorable almost since day one, continues to be quite favorable. And about the only issue right now is, as we begin to see harvest activity down there, you know, how fast would that harvest progress? And are there any kind of issues here getting the crop to the ports here so they can get that crop elsewhere around the world? But that's about the only issue right now.
We are maybe a month, month and a half away from really having to worry about a new crop or the northern hemisphere. Other parts of the world, other growing regions, any problems over the wintertime with moisture? Or are they going in dry anyplace?
No, I mean, really right now, everything has been pretty favorable here over the last couple of months. And if you look at overall trends here since the first of the year, it's been a very favorable situation here across most ag areas of the world. And as we look for the next, you know, couple of weeks, it looks like we're certainly no red flags on tap here as we go into this kind of, you know, springtime period.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We appreciate
it. My pleasure, Todd.
Yep, that's John Davis. He is with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.